For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Tuesday is our new Monday. It's great to have you with us for a brand new week. The real typical phrase when you haven't seen someone for a while or you're wanting more from them. What have you done for me lately? I'm going to rephrase that and say, what have you done lately, Marty? I feel like it's been a long time since we caught up with one another.
Well, okay, so first off, there's hockey being played this week, Duffer. So let's remember, there's actually a puck that's going to drop at noon on Friday, and it's going to be Pittsburgh and Boston, the first game of the Prospect Challenge. But anyway, Sabres play that night, Friday night 7, Saturday 7, and then Monday at 5. But hockey being played this week. So that's the first. Let's go. It feels like hockey's in the air. What have I done lately? Well, going through my, this is the greatest thing, right? Because Jacob has moved on with college and that they basically supply all their uniforms and everything at West Point. He didn't bring a lot of clothes with him. Like, obviously, when he's, you know, at the hockey rink, he can wear like sweatpants, whatever. He's left a lot of things behind. So I went through his boxes and look at this hoodie had. So I'm like, I'm stealing this. He's got a better wardrobe than I have. So I've gotten through like some of his like sweatpants and so that's what I've done lately. And also should let you know that I nearly had a disaster happening last night. And I know we're starting to, you know, people are like, hey, there's hockey this week. Let's talk hockey. We will. St. Louis Blues is a team of the day. We'll talk about some news around the NHL, but I've mentioned that I build this like chicken run for my chickens to go out. It's fortified. They can't get out. But now I'm like, they need a little outside time. So I build a fenced in area in the woods for them to get to. And there's a gate that opens and shut at day, at like when the sun goes down, when the sun comes up. So the chickens, usually they know when to return or whatnot. So last night, it's about 10 o'clock. I'm like, I'm going to go and make sure that all six are in and everything's good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where's the sixth one? I don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I look in that run area with the flashlight. I'm missing a chicken. I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, I built this thing really good so nothing would happen to them and whatnot. Just as I'm about to leave, I see the leaves kind of like fluttering right on top of my head. Like, what's going on? That one chicken that did not get back in time and the door closed, so it was left outside, was up in a tree about 8 feet up in the air. I don't know how it got there, but it found a way. Like, they still have that innate, like, I need to be safe. So I need to get to higher ground so no, you know, raccoons or whatever are going to get to me. Up about 8 feet in the air in a tree, in a branch, sleeping. So I had to go in there, try to get it out of there, make it go back into its house and put it away and tucked her in. So, yeah, so that was my
success.
Successful. Very.
I got news for you. 8 feet is not going to be enough clearance to escape the raccoon. Oh.
Well, it was weird because it was a branch that was leaning over that area that's fenced in. So it found a way to get up there and was like just like balancing up on the branch. And so when I came over, she didn't even move. She let me grab her and put her back in. I think she was like, thank God somebody found me before the night's over. But anyway, so that's what I've been up to. I've been up to, going through my son's closet and taking care of my chickens.
Chicken salad edition. First one out of the blocks here this week here on Sabres Live. NHL preseason begins 11 days from now. The Sabres will be first up with that as well as they host Pittsburgh on September the 21st. So we are rapidly approaching.
The real question is, what have you been up to lately? Because, we said goodbye on Friday. You joined in for the second half.
Okay, yeah, hang on. So when we said goodbye on Thursday, I was at the Port Authority in Erie Pennsylvania. Yes. Beautiful sunny day.
You had an anchor, like from put your rope on next to you.
From Friday, I was at the floor of gate 8 at O'Hare for the last half of the show. Stephen Wilson Jr. at the Grog Shop in Cleveland on Thursday. That was 6th time seeing him. Might have been the best. I mean, it was old school punk rock type club, really hot, ridiculously sweaty, which made it even better.
Well, that's more your climate. You like the hot climate as opposed to the
cold. It's funny you say that. Yeah. I mean, I don't even think of it that way, but I just think of it as like, this is kind of how venues like this should feel. I zipped over to Chicago, saw him again the next night. So that was number 7 for seeing him. It wasn't, nothing to do with Steven. It wasn't as good as the night before in Cleveland. Part of that was fan related. You know, I'm on this, there were just some fans that made the experience not as good, unfortunately, but caught some live blues in Chicago on Saturday, came back to Cleveland on Sunday. I would say a life-changing show that I watched. The band is American Aquarium. They are Americana, and I couldn't even begin to get into why it was life-changing, but incredibly personal, super talented. So yeah, that was a gem of a show, and the quest for more music continues this week. So it's kind of where I'm at. I'll balance it with hockey at some point. Are you still with us? I feel like I've lost you somewhere along the way.
I'm switching to my hotspot now because I was unstable for a little bit.
I could see that. Well, I'm not going to repeat everything I said because that would be redundant for the audience. So
I heard you. I heard most of it, so that's good.
Okay. So you want, this is only funny to me. Do you know what prep work I put in before the show?
You Googled St. Louis Blues to make sure they're still in NHL.
I put in a pretty solid hour prepping for Utah, thinking that they were the team of the day. So don't ask me why. Because I was looking at it going,
ready for the next one.
I'm like, boy, I feel like we've skipped a lot of teams here, but hey, whatever. Utah's the team of the day. And then I realized it wasn't. Dude, you're going to have to ditch the Spalding Lake Wi-Fi. This is awful. Anyway, if you want to know the full run from the Sabres here, they're going to get on the ice tomorrow with practice in advance of the Prospects Challenge. And of course, this is a huge week organizationally, not only for said players who will take part in the Prospects Challenge, which has 6 teams. And Jeff, we could run through the schedule here. People want to obviously know what's going on this weekend because it all wraps around FanFest. So, you know, Marty's excited about the puck drop, obviously, which happens at noon on Friday, because you got the Bruins and Penguins, followed by the Devils and the Senators at 3:30. And the one thing I've loved about this tournament over the course of almost a decade now is the fan interest from all the other teams. And, you know, whether it's fans traveling in just to get a glimpse of some of their organization, their favorite organization's top players, it adds to the obviously typical electric blue and gold appetite for the prospects, of which we expect all the biggest names, especially among the forward group, for the Sabres this year. So they kick off, the Sabres do, against Columbus on Friday night at 7. On Saturday, 3 more games, including Pittsburgh and Ottawa, Columbus and Boston, and New Jersey Buffalo is the nightcap. But of course, the nightcap at 7 is on the heels of FanFest, which is running basically the entirety of the day, 10 to 6. And within that, you have Hockey Fest as well. And we talked to Ed Grudzinski on the Sabres, you know, youth hockey side last week, just talking about the number of teams. We'll have close to 60, I think, when it's all said and done, that will be taking part in Hockey Fest on Perry Street / RJ Way at Alumni Plaza. So that was a huge success because last year, not only was it a perfect weather day, but I think most people were really surprised at, I would say, the access, you know, kind of like the proximity that they had to the current group of players, alumni. Obviously, the Sabres main camp is going to start the following week, but throughout the course of, you know, September the 14th, FanFest presented by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar, it's a new-ish experience for a lot of Sabres fans, young and old. One of the more popular things that we've seen in recent years is just the photo ops for people, you know, when the banners were lowered from the rafters and then placed in the atrium, and people had an opportunity to, you know, do something they would never anticipate. And it's all kind of just the little things that they keep stacking up here at FanFest that lead it to feel like a very, very, very large event over the course of just one day. And so Hockey Fest will culminate on the 14th as well. And then obviously we have the Monday set of games, which concludes with the Sabres playing at 5 p.m. So we'll get the roster soon enough here from the Sabres and their PR as far as exactly which players are going to be appearing. But I would say this, it's a group of forwards, not unlike what we've seen in recent years at the Prospects Challenge, where it's almost a house divided, Marty. Like, everybody's got their favorites as far as which high-end prospects to focus on, and whether it's Hellenius this year, or whether it's Wahlberg this year, or whether it's returning player. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good cycle to be in as far as an event like this is concerned, and what it pushes, you know, your American Hockey League team, pardon me, about to sneeze on air. It's never good.
That's never good. But
held it in for you.
Well, I'm back. It's good. You can let it out now because I'm back, and I think we've figured it out. It's all the IT and
poop.
Microsoft thing that I'm blaming it on. I had to restart the computer and everything. But you're right. So here's what's interesting, because I had somebody, I think it's Ryan on social media, asking me, hey, what's happening with the preseason? And is this going to be two groups? And when do the Sabres leave? And nothing official on that, but I'm like, I kind of expect the main group to be here for two, maybe three preseason games. And then the main guys are going to go over to Europe. They got to play in Germany on that Friday, and there's more games. But so the guys like Kulik and Roseanne and Wahlberg and Oslin and Elenius and whatnot, not only are they going to get a lot at Prospect Challenge for a lot of them, but are going to get a lot of preseason games as well. So if you're Constant Elenius and you're coming to Prospect Challenge, you look at what Zach Benson did last year and you say, I'm going to set the tone, right, in Prospect Challenge, because then I'm going to get all these NHL games in preseason to hopefully, you know, earn a spot. So I think this, to me, like you just pointed out, is a very, very unique, very interesting group of forwards, because there's a lot of added ice time to be earned and had in preseason this year for all these guys.
How many and or who, if you're feeling very confident and want to list the names already, how many of these young guys do you think actually go with the main group and get the German preseason game and maybe or maybe not? I think as a player, you would always know this, but maybe they feel like that carrot is still in front of them, even if it's let's say a larger group, let's say 30 or 32 people that they take over, you know, to Europe initially before the season starts. Like, how many do you think Kulik, Roseanne, Hellenius, like, is there a chance they're with that main group in Czechia?
There's a chance, yes. There's a chance they're there. The only thing that would get in the way of it for me is the fact that there's only one preseason game in Europe before the regular season starts. So you're going to have your main group play against Red Bull and get ready for those two games. So is it more valuable to say, hey, Kulik, Roseanne, Elenius, stay back, play four preseason games, play three preseason games, whatever, with the Buffalo Sabres.
They're probably going to play five if they stay behind, honestly. Yeah.
You know, and that way you're going to get all that experience, because you're not going to play against Red Bull. The 20 guys that I feel are going to be the 20 to play against the New Jersey Devils most likely plays. But I have two set of experiences in that is I remember the 1 year, 98, 99, mm-hmm. the Sabres had training camp in Austria. And I thought for sure I was going to go. I told the story many times on here. I thought I was going to go. I got a letter in the mail in the summer. I thought I was going to open it and it's going to say, Marty, we're happy to have you come to Austria with us. It was to tell me that I was going to the rookie camp in Kitchener, Ontario.
That's
the letter I got. I was the only player that had played pro the year before that was at the rookie camp in Kitchener,
Did you get a suite at least?
I didn't get a suite, but I did have my car and everybody piled into my Nissan Pathfinder and we all drove around Kitchener and that. But anyway.
And so the team was going to Austria at that point?
The Sabres went to Austria for training camp. Right. They didn't take a lot of guys because they were going to come back to Buffalo to start the regular season. They weren't going to play regular season games in Austria and Europe. They were just going for like 10 days.
Can you name a Buffalo-born professional hockey player? Who also played in Austria? Buffalo born, who's celebrating his 47th birthday today, who amidst his incredible run of teams in his 15-year career.
Stepniak.
Nope, Peter Ratchak.
Oh, Peter Ratchak. Okay, because you started an incredible run of teams, and I thought
he played a year of college, then a year of major junior. And over the course of 15 years, including starting in college, he was with 14 different teams in so many countries. Yeah. And I was like, and on top of it, the reason to bring him up, great dude, former Amherst. We see him at KeyBank all the time. We see him at Amherst alumni events.
Jets scout. Peter Ratchak, awesome. Is at all the alumni events. So he's always great. Anyway, we went to Austria. I didn't go. They took mostly the team, went over there, trained for 10 days, came back, started the season. Mm-hmm. Now, with the Rangers in 2011, 2012, we went to Europe, but because the MSG was being renovated, we played 4 preseason games in Europe. We played a team in Prague, a team in Switzerland, a team in Bratislava, and a team in Sweden. So because of that, they took 32, 34 people over
because they needed to rotate them.
Huh?
Why do we think that the NHL doesn't do that now? Like, why wouldn't you do 3 or 4 and spread the love, the global impact and presence? If you're doing it during, I get it. We've seen teams go over in the middle of the regular season.
Yeah.
It's completely different than team building here. And just going for a one-off in the midst of a week leading up to the regular season.
For my my own experience, it was a complete drag to go from. We played 4 games in 5 days in 4 different countries with travel and you know borders and all of it. Mm-hmm. We were exhausted when we came back. And I think that's the thing. Like the Sabres are going for a long time. The Sabres are going for almost like 12 to 13 days, maybe depending on when they leave. That's a long time to be over. Teams don't like being gone that long because it is an adjustment when you come back and it's anyway. So, but when we played 4 preseason games and 2 regular season games, we took 32, 33 guys over.
Right.
And there was a lot of guys that didn't, there was always like 8 or 9, 10 players that were not dressing or were doing extra after practice. That was a different scenario. I would anticipate the Sabres to take about 26 to 28 players, maybe just for injury's sake or little things that could happen. But
I'm going over, I'm going to say 30.
Okay, well, usually 23 is the roster size, 2 extra forward, an extra D. Mm-hmm. I would think you got to add an extra goalie in that for sure. You got to go with 3 goalies. So that's 24 right there. Probably a couple more forwards, that's 26. A couple more D, that's 28. That's where I'm at right now. 4 forwards, 3 D, a goalie extra. You got 8 more guys than usual.
But it's one thing to look at it as extras. The important part is to look at it from competition. Who's going to be on the blue line for the Sabres?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of guys competing for spots 7 and 8, aren't they? So shouldn't they be afforded that opportunity? Like, we don't know if Bryson's the guy or if Gilbert is the guy or whether Ryan Johnson can be the guy. Like, shouldn't they be afforded the equal opportunity to go over there? Again, it's only one game. So how much can you do in the games prior to maybe getting you that one extra game in Europe?
This is the headache, I think, that Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff are running into right now, is what's best for your main group to say, hey, what's best for Tage and Tuck and Dahlin and Power and Byram and Jokiarju and Samuelson to get ready for the season? Those two games against the New Jersey Devils are big games. You get up 2-0, you come home, you got October 10th, the home opener, you play on the 12th, all of a sudden you get on a run. They're big games. What's best for these guys, or what's best for your organization to figure out who's the 7D, who's the 13th, 14th forward? And there's a lot of competition to be had right there. So that's why this is, to me, it's a great experience. I was listening to Brian Burke talk on a radio station. I think it was XM station NHL the other day about, you know, going to Europe. And he said, it's not easy, but he goes, my job as a general manager was to give life experience to my players. And some players are like, why are we going to Europe? Because when you're done playing and you're in 20 years from now, you're going to say, oh, I remember when we took the trip and played against Red Bull in Munich, or we went to Prague and we did this. My job is also to give you those type of opportunities. And I think that Kevin Adams is open to give those fun experience to his team. But you also have to put in the work and know what's the best way to win two regular season games there. And maybe that way to evaluate Bryson, Gilbert, Ryan Johnson, Lukas Rusek, Yuri Kulik, and those guys up front, right, is once they return. Once they return, then you're like, okay, we're going to have you in practice, see how you're looking. Maybe you play a couple games in Rochester, how you're looking. That's how the evaluation is going to get done, because you don't have a ton of time in training camp to evaluate your players, because you're going to have two groups, a group here and a group in Europe, and that's the way it goes.
Real talk, with your newly found stable connection.
Yes, it's good now.
Can any of the fringe players, and I say that fringe with all due respect, I'm just saying players that we don't know for sure are going to be on the Sabres this year. This is not fringe NHLers. It's whether they're going to make the team. Can any young Sabre do enough in the first three preseason games to work his way onto the trip to Europe? Or, in your opinion, is that list already made and they know who's going to Europe right now?
I have the feeling that the list is already made, not because I have talked to Kevin Adams or Lindy Ruff or anything. It's just that there's a lot of planning to be done. And again, when I was with the New York Rangers and we left, it was like, you know, a week before we left, it was like, okay, got to get everybody's, you know, passports. It has to be cleared. Everything has to be done. There's a lot to be done ahead of time. Now, could you obviously add an extra guy, or somebody gets injured and we don't want to see that, and you're like, well, you're going to stay back? That could definitely happen. I would think that 99% of the list is made. And if you have a number that you want to go out with, if you want to go with 28 players to Europe, if you want to go with 30, you've probably, let's say it's your number, Duffer, they're taking 30 players to Europe. I think they know their three goalies right now. It's going to be Luukkonen, Levi, Reimer. They're taking all three over, right? So that's good. I think they probably would know the 17 or 18 forwards that they would take. And I think they also know about the 9 or 10 defensemen. That's your 30 guys right there. I think your list is done. Now, could there be a Konstantelainius, for example, that shines in Prospect Challenge, plays the first preseason game, and it's like, let's bring him along. Yeah, I think you add him on to the list. It's not like somebody gets taken off the trip to add on somebody, but I think that your original list of 28, 29 guys is probably set.
All right, so just like the show started, the chicken was inside the coop and out. Marty was inside and committing to the list being made, but also then being outside and being...
I was unstable.
You were unstable, and so the list is
like when my computer tells me I'm unstable. That's like,
it's not the only thing telling you that.
Exactly. You're telling me that? Really?
All right. Single game tickets are on sale now. You mentioned that the Sabres have the home games on October the 10th and October the 12th. Of course, sandwiched nicely in the middle of that is the Amerks home opener at Blue Cross Arena as well. The Amerks single game tickets are on sale now also. So go to sabres.com/tickets if you're looking to get in on any of the 40 regular season home games as well as the 3 preseason home games. And of course, we do have a team of the day. It's not exactly the one I thought at 11 a.m. this morning, but it is one that will provide us a lot of content and a similar color scheme to the Sabres. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Yes, we roll on. Team of the day coming up. Marty, you may be surprised to know that I did cram in a sporting event while I was in Chicago on Saturday.
Oh, what'd you go to?
A very lackluster, par for the course, part of the weekend series game between the Yankees and the Cubs. Did you know that in the entirety of that series, there were 8 runs scored combined by the two teams over 3 days? There were no home runs. The Yankees won 2-0 on the Saturday on an RBI groundout and a wild throw to third base on a stolen base attempt that sailed down into left field, and that scored the other run. The most exciting play of the day was a Cody Bellinger catch in the center field area, throws to first. The umpire rings up a double play, only to have it negated by video review. So it was a single solitary out. That was literally the most exciting play of the game.
Yeah, but you were at Wrigley Field, so it's it's a great place.
I spent too much, but whatever. It was nice.
You know, I've been there before. Actually, Pete Hassan was working for the Blackhawks at the time. Yes. So he was in the 15 finals and got me and Weeksy down on the field in the pregame, watched batting practice. It was awesome. So it was my first time and only time at Wrigley Field. It was great. I thought maybe you went to the White Sox game. I thought you went down
the
other side. But
you know, yeah, I would have been.
They were on the road, and they did.
I would have much rather gone to see that show.
Get a cheer for the White Sox right now. But
no, we don't.
You know, mentioned that our team of the day, the St. Louis Blues, Chicago, St. Louis. They've had that rivalry for years, dating back to the, the old division, and you know that it's been a fun. If you live in Chicago or you live in St. Louis, that rivalry has been a lot of fun, despite the fact that Chicago was, so good in the 2010s winning cups, but then St. Louis ended up winning their own in 19. So both ended up winners.
The rivalry has been on display since 1967-68, which was the Blues' first season. Since arriving in the NHL, the Blues have made the playoffs 45 out of their 56 seasons. Only the Boston Bruins have missed the playoffs fewer in that period of time. The Blues have the most playoff games played of any Western Conference team since arriving in the NHL. That's what made it so hard for the longest time, not being able to scale the mountain, even in that run of 25 straight years where they made the postseason every single year. They didn't get it done until 2019. They could have got it done last year. They had 92 points, would have been enough in the East. Didn't make it in the West. So now they've missed it 2 years in a row. They've got a GM in waiting in Alex Steen. They have a first full year of head coach Drew Bannister, whose efforts at the end of last year in replacement of Craig Berube wasn't enough to get them there. But
they were impressive, though. It was impressive what he was able to do.
Yeah, but this isn't the same. This isn't the same Blues now.
No, it's
we're looking at a team that has added Faxa and Joseph and Holloway and Texier up front. And on the blue line, they have shut down Torrey Krug for the year. They still have Falk and Parayko, but they've added Broberg. They've added Ryan Suter. They've added P.O. Joseph. Yep. And they may have the best version of Jordan Binnington. They hope that they, I mean, it could be argued that last year was his best year in the NHL since his rookie year, which led to a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, no, I this is interesting because Jordan Binnington 2 years ago, Duffer, was 97th out of 107 goalies to play at least a minute in the NHL in goals save above expectations. 97th out of 107. And that led to, you know, the year before, or was it that year? Anyway, the throwing the bottle at Nazem Kadri in the playoffs, Craig Berube out in the media multiple times, and my goalie just got to stop the puck, and just like being very critical of what Jordan Binnington and his antics were, but it took away from him playing the position and making saves. So he goes from a .331 goals against average and an .894 save percentage 2 years ago to a .913 save percentage this year, a .284, and he was fifth. He went from 97th to fifth in goals save above expectation. And now Binnington, not only did he give the Blues a chance to battle for playoff spots, which they fell short, but he's back on the radar for the Four Nations face-off, for the Canadian team netminding, like the starting job for the Olympics in 2026. Like, that's where Binnington was so far and came so far back to be able to help the Blues. But look, you mentioned Drew Bannister. You know, he was plus 11 last year when Craig Berube was minus one. So at the end of the day, the Blues ended up plus 10, which was not good enough. But the power play with Craig Berube as a coach was 8.4%, 31st on the power play. When Drew Bannister came in, he moved them all the way to 13th with 22.8%. Like, there was a lot of, Shayna says that a lot with Craig Berube. She's like, he's not a tactician. He's a, you know, emotional guy. He's going to grab you and say, let's go to battle and everything. But Drew Bannister was the opposite, I felt. He was a very good tactician. Let's work on the power play. Let's work on the penalty kill. Let's work on our defense 5-on-5. All of those got better with Drew Bannister. So I'm expecting a really good season from St. Louis this year with the addition and with the new coach continuing what he did last year.
But they don't have Torrey Krug, and I do think that's kind of huge. I mean, you know, wherever you think Krug's game was at, there's still an element or two that is going to be missing, I think. Now, the group clearly had to get younger on the blue line, hence the offer sheet to Broberg, and they bring him in. You still have over 30 club, Falk, Pareko, Letty. How many goals does Scott Perunovic have in his career?
Oh, boy. How many?
The same as Ryan Johnson.
I was going to say like
zero.
Less than 15.
Oh, which is
zero.
Surprising, okay. Because he's thought of as this, you know, now he's not as young. He's definitely not as young as Ryan Johnson. But he's only played 73 NHL games, and he had a lot of injury issues last year. And I still think there's, the reason I bring it up is just in the absence of Krug, I think they're still very much hoping that the blue line can give more offense. And I think some of that comes from Perunovic, but we just haven't seen it translate yet fully at the NHL level. So he'll be
a guy for me to keep. I like the 17 points that he got in 50-odd games. Like, that's good, but no goals. But you're right. Like, there's got to be production from Perunovic. There's got to be production from Broberg. Look, that offer sheet, $4.58 million for a player that has only played, what is it, like 80?
Just a few more games than Perunovic.
But, you know, NHL games. Like, he played 12 games last year, Broberg, at 2 assists. And now it's a $4.5 million contract. Like, that was a hefty, you know, offer sheet. But they're hoping that you can get some offense from Broberg. You can get some offense from Perunovic. You should continue to get offense from a guy like Colton Pareko. I think there's the big shot. You can put him in a situation. He had 10 goals last year. That's a bounce back year from Pareko, being able to get 10 goals. So they got some offense. I think the St. Louis Blues, like, I look back to their 2018-2019 season. Yeah, they were last at Christmas, New Year's.
Yeah.
They got Jordan Binnington, Craig Berube. They made a push. They got in. They win the cup. I think this team this year is better than the 2019 team because they've got the pieces. In my opinion, I think they're better.
They're missing the best version we've ever seen of Alex Pietrangelo. So I don't know if I could get there.
But they were last, right? I think the St. Louis Blues are better balanced now than they were back then.
Well, that was the hope, clearly, from Doug Armstrong with the additions up front. Now, the reality is they have four more years of Braden Schenn, who, from a quality standpoint, like, I love the player. But at 33 and four more years at 6.5, and he can probably still get you 20 like he did last year. He's just been on the wrong side of some of the, you know, other numbers for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But Buchnevich's deal would maybe still fall in the unexpected based on what the narrative was at the end of last year's regular season. His six-year deal doesn't start until next year at the age of 30.
Yes.
And they bring in 30-year-old Radek Faksa, who does not produce a lot of points. Matthew Joseph may produce a little bit more than Faksa. Holloway could produce points, but hasn't really shown it yet. And I would say, of the four, the guy who might be able to have more points than the other three is Texier, you know, who had taken time off from Columbus, came back to Columbus, and now finds himself as a member of the St. Louis Blues. I'm curious at best here to see how it all pieces together among their kind of new look forward group.
So how many goals for Jordan Kyrou this year? How many goals for
30? I mean, I think Kyrou shows he's a 30 goal guy.
Kyrou is he had 31 last year, led the Blues in that way. I like Jake Neighbors, 27 goals last year. I think he can get to 30 again. So I'm looking at the Blues, right? Like, and it's not that I want to compare 2018-19 to now, but you had Tarasenko at 33 goals, and that was it. Like, if they can get Kyrou and Neighbors and get Robert Thomas to be, like, he was 26 goals last year. Could he be 30?
Yeah, but he was 86 points, which was by far a career high.
And he was their best player. Like, you watch Robert Thomas play, and I mean, they gave him a pretty big contract, and that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, when you were going to sign he's 25 now, but $8+ million, Kyrou, $8+ million. Like, look at the Sabres, Dylan Cousins, Tage Thompson. They're $7 million players. So you're $1 million less. I think that they're all the same quality of players, guys that could get 30 goals, could get 40 goals, maybe. Kyrou could maybe get to 40, right? It would be a stretch, but he could get to 40. I think the Blues have put their eggs in the, go back to the chicken talk, in the young players' basket, and the Kyrou Thomas. They changed from the O'Reilly, Tarasenko, that group of guys, and they went to the young players, hoping that it rejuvenates the success in St. Louis.
Some young players, they still feel like a very old outfit based on the names, even without Kevin Hayes. You know, I think we've already listed the 30-something club. Now, there's a different club in St. Louis, which is reserved for greats in sport and impact in community. And it's really awesome to say that our good friend Kelly Chase just last week was inducted into the Greater St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. Yeah. When you think of Kelly's journey and battle and kicking cancers, you know what, of late, it's pretty awesome that Chaser had this moment. So I think when we think of the St. Louis Blues, we often think of Kelly first. So nice to be able to give a little tip of the cap for something that has been very well earned on his part.
So Kelly Chase, obviously the type of player he was, tough as nails. He wasn't Bob Probert, and he wasn't you know, those type of guys, but he would fight robbery if he had to. He would play a tough game. He was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia, which was a tough battle. It was a tough battle for Chaser. There were some moments where he wasn't sure if he wanted to continue and if he was going to, you know, stick to the, you know, the treatments, and he did. And he is absolutely loved in that market in St. Louis and around the National Hockey League. He was here in Buffalo years ago when we did a little fun storytelling night with the NHL Alumni Association in town. And Chaser told us a story about his very first training camp, how he missed his flight. Well, he didn't miss a flight. His flight got canceled. He was at the airport with Gordie Howe going to Hartford. And so they went to Gordie Howe and they said, Mr. Howe, we have a room with for you for overnight. And Mr. Chase, you're going to be sharing a room with Gordie Howe. So he's like, oh my God, I'm sharing a room with Gordie Howe. And Gordie told Kelly, this is your first camp, kid. Make sure they know who you are. Right. So he goes, my first practice, I fought five guys and all five were veteran and guys that everybody loved. And I did really well. Now he goes, I'm in the locker room and I have to go to the bus and I don't want to go in the bus because I know there's 20 guys. I want to kick my, you know what, in the bus. So I'm walking in front of the bus, not wanting to go in. And Gordie Howe came outside the bus. He put his arm around Kelly Chase and he says, well, they know who you are now. Come on the bus, bud. And they went on the bus and he said, I had made an impact, but it was all the learning of Gordie Howe. And that was Kelly Chase as a player. That's Kelly Chase as a human being. And we're really excited for him.
Amazing. And he's in the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. A slew of birthdays on this day in the hockey world. We're going to get to them and some tidbits, because there are plenty of those too around the NHL as we get close to training camps opening, which means PTOs and last minute roster manipulation as it pertains to the salary cap. Probably no mention of Utah, though. We'll save that for another day. Stay with us on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I promise to talk quick. Happy birthday to former Sabre Sergei Petrenko, who appeared in the Sabres lineup in 93-94. Did he score a goal?
Yes.
No. He had four assists in 14 games. He had two decent seasons with the Amerks. The Amerks have announced that Hall of Fame athletic trainer Kent Snacky Weisbeck has announced his retirement after more than 39 years of service. So, Kent, thank you. He obviously would have been around to see Petrenko in Rochester back in 93-94. A trio of Ducks are celebrating birthdays today. Troy Terry and Olin Zellwiger, along with Nikita Nesterenko. Which one of these does not walk like a duck? Presumably Nesterenko, but we'll see if he can crack the lineup this year. Dmitry Voronkov with the Jackets is 24. Jordan Staal, your favorite, is 36 with Carolina. And two Flames legends, Joe Nieuwendyk, Hall of Famer, hometown hero from Whitby, Ontario, and Tim Hunter, both sharing birthdays. They are Flames legends through and through.
I don't mind Jordan Staal. I don't like Eric, even though I like Eric, but I don't like playing against Eric. Jordan never really bothered me. By the time Jordan was in the league, I was... And an effective player in the league. I was a backup to Lundqvist and whatever. Like, well, he did beat us twice in the playoffs too.
So Nick Robertson has his 1 year deal with the Leafs. We'll see how long he lasts as a Maple Leaf. Adam Larson's got 4 years, 21 million reasons to stay in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And Tyson Berry has a PTO with the Flames. Adam Ernie is a little surprising, has a PTO with the Rangers. I would assume he'll end up in Hartford if he makes that squad. And
Max Pacioretty is like, it's rumored that he will sign a PTO with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the hopes that they can free up some cap space for him to sign with the Leafs. And they also have to sign Hakanpää, which was rumored on July 1. He was signing, but that never happened. So they may be looking to sign Hakanpää as well.
Well, now you have 2+ minutes to do your best and worst of a, as always now for us until February, long weekend.
Tuesdays feel like Mondays, and I love it because it gives me 24, 48 hours after the Bills game to say that Bills win was a best of the weekend. I was stressing in the first half, but really, I love how Josh played in the second half, really played in the whole game. First drive, they were down, fumbled, but they could have scored on every drive almost in this game. So Bills win is a best of the weekend. Jesse Pegula lost to Aryna Sabalenka in her first major finals at the U.S. Open. But just the fact that she made it there and lost 7-5, 7-5 and had the chance to close out the first set and didn't get it done, and then was close in the second set. Was a great event this weekend.
Up to number three in the world rankings.
She moved up to, and listen, I think she's going to have a great winter training and look out Australia next year, the next majors. It was summer with the French Open, Wimbledon, the French, the Paris Olympics and the US Open was a busy. Now she can really work forward next year. The Paralympics ended over the weekend. It was a very successful. I watched a ton of event. Sitting volleyball, Duffer. I want to play volleyball. I thought that was exciting to watch. That was great. So sitting, the U.S. won the gold, by the way. Mm-hmm. Canada won the bronze. So that was fun. And victory in week one of my fantasy football league, the old Barbill League in East Aurora. I was a point down going into last night, and I had the New York Jets defense against San Francisco. And when Christian McCaffrey was out, I'm like, oh, I got this. There's no way the Jets are going to not get me at least 1 point. Well, they barely got. I gutted it out with like literally 1.5 point, and I won by a half point. That's how tight it was. So that was the best of a long weekend for me. Loved every second of it.
Is it true that the most mediocre post weekend was the new look Wheel of Fortune?
Yes, I would say I watched Wheel of Fortune last night. The first Ryan Seacrest Wheel of Fortune, no more Pat Sajak. And Ryan did well, but the set, it looks like it's an off country, like a, you know, Finnish, like Wheel of Fortune set. I didn't like it at all.
We're going to have to ask Yoki Haru about this now. Yes. All right. See you tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Hot takes.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.